All Flex No Dex is an adult podcast. If you compared us to movie ratings, we'd be rated R. See episode notes for details.
It's funny to be back to this level one shenanigans.
Damn, what is this?
7 hit points. Good God. I'm going to die immediately.
Didn't realize that Dandy died more than once before his adventure even started.
Dandy died like every game, didn't he? Is that the cursed character that died constantly?
Yeah. I was going to go ahead and do a side piece with you about how Dandy is traumatized by it, but...
No, this is where it starts.
Yeah, starting with 9 hit points. That's... He gets hit by a rock thrown by one angry customer and...
Well,
that's it.
Right in the temple.
Yep.
Really hard.
The special thing about today's game is that it's almost all roleplay. I designed it as such because Dandy's not a fighter, he's a bard. So we're going with that.
Okay.
So.
I'm just saying, a natural one, you can still get a bard punched.
Sure. Don't go starting fights. But yeah, this one shot is tailored for the super spy here. It's only a level one, so she's kind of a spy. Not a super spy yet. She's not even a spy yet. And the bard, who thinks they're a bard, but not really a bard yet. I like your dice bag.
Thank
the
you.
What the hell is that? That's a little dragon. It's cute.
It's a little sleeping dragon.
Oh, it's a toothless.
Yeah.
He's happy.
Today, we will find out what exactly happened in the early days of Dandelion and why he is so well known. I'm Tony, your resident dungeon master for All Flex No Dex, and today with me I have Zach.
Hi everybody, I'm Zach and I play Dandelion.
And Nicole.
Hi everybody, I'm Nicole and I'll be playing Eileen the Displacer Rogue.
So in this adventure, we find Dandy at the Aggressive Mice, a Havling-owned tavern owned and operated by Osben Oki, distant cousin of Dandy. The setting is within one of the city doors named Neverhold. And Dandy finds himself in a moment to shine when an asshole tiefling named Alistar is going to be taking the stage here soon.
Sorry. That was unexpected.
My ears!
Is that what he says when he gets on stage?
That's what somebody says when he starts singing.
So, our missing compatriot today is Denizari, knows a dandelion, and knows that Alistar cannot refuse a challenge. This tiefling is a dick, and he is all bluster. He's very much like, if he is challenged, he feels the need to go above and beyond to put the challenger in their place, because he's the only thing that's good. He should be on stage. However, he's responsible for several murders because of this challenge. He usually does life or death challenges. So a lot of upstart bards have been brutally murdered via magical means. Zen doesn't know how, but you guys are going to find that out.
Mm.
So, you know, she tells you this, Dandy, and she's like, you know, so don't get yourself killed, but I need to bring him in. He's my bounty. So I'll cut you in on the profits and whoever else you need to get here. But you need to get him vulnerable because he's always surrounded by groupies and hired guards.
Well, you know me. I always make a killing. And then I wink.
Finger guns.
She rubs her eyes. All right. So what I need from you, Dandy, is to figure out a way to get him away from his groupies. Even if you guys are on stage, the groupies and the guards aren't far away. So if I tackle him on stage, they're going to assault me. And then it'll be me versus 5+ people.
Okay.
So devise a plan, figure out where he's at, get him where he's alone. I'll be around and watching, but I'm going to be kind of lurking. I can't be having any attention drawn to myself, otherwise I can get him unawares.
Ah, so you're a watcher.
Sure, yes.
Voyeur.
Only on the weekends. So, Neverhold, as I said, is one of the city doors in the Valley of the Sunrise. Mm-hmm. And if you guys remember, you encountered the first city door with that mage. I think you stole something from him, Danny.
I remember him.
I did not steal anything, okay?
Right.
I acquired it by means of which Rock wasn't there to supervise me.
Okay. So anyways, that's future Dandy, though.
Yes.
So these city doors are very common in the valley. This is how humans and basically civilization in the valley figured out how to adapt to the dragon problem without drawing attention to themselves. Since there's so much magic in the valley, they're able to get together and make these city doors, which are basically like pocket dimensions. Think Doctor Who with the TARDIS, except it's just a roll-up city door like our green screen here. So they roll it up, click it in place, and then it's a door to walk into the city. And so there is a holder that travels with it for every city door. For Neverhold, it's carried by a very scarred and weathered-looking dragonborn named Isaac and his green drake, Krista. They just kind of wander around the valley. So here we are. Danny, your first stop was to go find Aileen, because you assumed to come up with a plan, you're going to need some friends, and need some friends are on the sneaky end. And Aileen is someone that you know that does that very well. So you've come to the aggressive mice to rendezvous with her.
So entering the aggressive mice, do I see either my cousin or Aileen right away? Or
Osmond Oki is behind the bar.
Doing the bartender wipe a glass thing. Yeah. Yeah.
It is moderately busy. There are quite a few havelings here. It is supposed to be a haveling only tavern. Okay. So you had set an appointment earlier. You let Osmond know. You sent word via messenger pigeon or what have you, with message. Sent a rat off with a note, hey, I'm coming by. So when you walk in, Osmond goes, Dandy, in the back.
In the back?
Well, it's obviously not in the front.
Well, you couldn't reserve me a table. What sort of cousin just lets somebody go ahead and do this to another?
He kind of leans forward in the bar and says, what kind of cousin brings somebody who's not a halfling into a halfling-only tavern?
Fair enough.
In the back, Dandy.
Love you, cuz.
Love you, too. In the back, it's just like around the bar, like going to the left, and it kind of like circles around and looks like it goes to the employee-only section. Like you could be going back into a kitchen, and when you walk in there, it is in the kitchen, but there is a portioned-off section that's hidden behind a curtain. You just pull the curtain back, and there's a little meeting room, like a speakeasy.
Can I see a bottle of wine or anything on the way?
Roll perception check.
Oh, wait. I actually have D&D Beyond. I can just press the button now.
A side note. Who is the god of thieves in 5e?
There's a couple different ones. Usually Mask.
Mask?
Mask. Shar does thieves. Any of the Havling gods, like Brenda Barris, does thieves.
Mask. It's done.
I got a 6.
Okay. Mask and Brenda Barris, too, are... they're pretty close. Brandon Barris is obviously more light-hearted and more into adventure. Mask is... Mask, you know who Mask is.
I think. Generally, yes.
Mask generally has followers that are dicks.
Shady dealings and all of that.
Yeah, your standard rogue as compared to the adventure rogues.
Eileen's a dick.
Okay. Mask definitely then. But there is like a subtle appreciation though between the two. So anyways, what'd you roll?
6.
Okay. No.
Okay.
It's almost like Osmond knew you were coming. And as with all of his cousins, he makes sure the good stuff is put away before they come into the back.
Aw. Acting like a real tuck right now. anyways.
Listen here, Lion, all right? The Okies know better. They can't trust their own family, let alone their cousins.
Fair enough, fair enough. Very well. I'll go ahead and I enter the
draped off area.
Okay, and in there, it's completely empty except for Eileen. Are you drinking or eating anything? Do you ask Osmond to bring you something?
If he offers it.
He won't.
Okay, well then, no.
Okay. I'm going to say this is probably not your first time in the Aggressive Minus 2. Like, if you did want something, you'd have to speak up. But otherwise, he's not going to cater to you because this is supposed to be like a, you know, you're in a speakeasy. So this is the shady, hidey part. And you know the routine. You've been in shady, hidey bits a lot.
Yeah.
So you just open the curtain and he's like, eh. Gestures in.
Eileen's sitting back with her feet up on whatever table thing is in front of her.
Okay. So the table and the chairs are made for halflings. So you are sitting really low. So it's kind of like a footstool where you put your feet on the table.
Okay, so I'm kind of like leaning back against the wall with my feet up on the table.
Okay. And you see this dandy.
Oi, dandy. Been waiting long enough.
Oh, yes, just make yourself comfortable. Because then I walk over and sit down. I'm assuming there's another open chair.
Well, there's a few. Okay. So there's like three tables in the speakeasy, and they all have chairs propped up on top of each other, except for the table that it leans on.
Okay. I thought it was more of like a tiny nook area.
It's about the size of this podcasting room. So okay. I think like about 15 by 15.
Okay.
But there are like a couple of smaller tables.
That's fairly good size for a halfling back room. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to do like illegal gambling or
what have you.
So that's why there's more than one table on here. It would be kind of packed, but at least you could fit a couple of people and at least three different games going.
Okay. Yeah, I'd go ahead and take a seat. So, it's been a while. That's a great song idea. Anyways, I, of course, have brought you here to go ahead and discuss some business. Dandy is kind of rubbing his hands together because he's got a little bit of anxiety. You know, he's already brought somebody into here that obviously isn't a halfling or of the smaller races. So my cousin's already given me a bunch of crud for that. And I'd rather not go ahead and cause any agitations in here.
So before we continue, what does younger Dandy look like?
So younger Dandy... Dandy, grown up, actually has quite a poof of hair, but he always keeps it well kept. Younger Dandy is a lot more kind of like he's hectic, like he's constantly struggling to go ahead and try and make himself known. So his hair is a lot more frayed, it's a lot shorter.
So he has that distraught artist look.
Yeah.
He's like constantly nervous. Starving. And,
yeah. He's quite a bit more bony, too. He doesn't get every meal that he should be getting. That's why he was looking for a bottle of wine immediately when he came in. And he doesn't get a lot of sleep, either. So he's got bags under his eyes. He's also got, to any other artist out there, they would definitely see the telltale signs of charcoal rubbings on his fingertips, almost like he's been either constantly trying to write something or constantly trying to draw something.
Yep.
It's almost like it's been staining his skin. He's just had to keep on doing it. And his fingers, of course, have the blisters from just trying to go ahead and practice any instrument to try and go ahead and get somewhere.
And Eileen, what does Dandy see?
Well, as Dandy knows, since we're friends, yeah. Eileen is a very average, plain-looking humanoid. Well, human-looking. Good for fitting into crowds and not being spotted easily. Brown hair, slightly more bronzed skin, green eyes. No crazy hairstyle or anything. No identifying marks or scars or tattoos. Really good for just blending into a crowd.
Amazingly average.
Yep. Average height, average hair, average everything.
Which is perfect for a spy. You are nondescript. So, yeah. Do you guys, you know, I'm just going to, aside from any small talk you guys want to do, you do figure that unless you can think of something else, there are three options you can go for. You can try to investigate where Alistar is currently. You can try to do some persuasion or investigation and talk around to see what the latest gossip is at Alistar and see if you can find anything you could use to your leverage. Or Dandy can put on a show to draw Alistar out.
Like challenge him?
Well, if he knows that there's anything that could make him look worse or somebody who just looks better than him, he will come out outright challenge you. And you know this already. That's what Zen was telling you. So if you put on a really good show, he'll come out big dragon dick and challenge you immediately. But you got to be good.
Yeah. So it's definitely a test of young Dandy's skill and what to do here. So if I were to try and go ahead and draw him out, would you be able to go ahead and sneak into your area of expertise and see what you can dig up on him? I know splitting the party isn't always the best of ideas, but...
You mean like into his apartments or his rooms or...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
As I can't... I'm not of the sneaky type, per se. Making a show or a distraction, as it were, is much more my area of expertise.
Yes. Sneaky is mine. I mean, yeah, that's a valid option for us. What would you want me to be looking for?
What was it you were saying that we would have to go ahead and find?
To figure out where he's at?
Is that what we're trying to do? Is figure out where he's at exactly? Because
we're trying to get him alone so that Zen can take him as bounty.
Yeah. And he is reported to be doing the show in 2 days.
Are we trying to get him before the show, or are we trying to prep for the show?
It's up to you. That's just what's happening.
But he's got a bounty on him, so that probably means that other people are going to try and get him at that time.
Maybe.
It makes sense to me to try and isolate him during a time where we already know he's going to be out and about and exactly where he's going to be.
Well, if this guy likes to flex a whole lot... Hey, cousin. Oh, cousin.
You're hollering to him from the room?
Yeah.
He doesn't reply.
Ugh. Well... My cousin would go ahead and be willing to help us. Perhaps we could find some place of a higher establishment.
I hear it. And he opens up the screen and he goes, "Weird, I thought this was a speakeasy."
Oh, hi.
What do you want?
Would you happen to know of any big shots in town? Renting from, you know, finer places. I was hoping that you may know something.
No havelings I know of. I run a haveling-only tavern, Dandy. I don't get out a lot. I know Alistar is in town.
Ah, well, where is he staying?
You have to ask around.
You have no connections? No. Dear cousin, what are you doing with your life?
What kind of establishment are you running here? Supposedly
I'm going to walk somebody.
Cousin, some wine, please.
Ignores you. It's like the homeless person walking in, the homeless cousin that never does anything right with their life, that comes in and it's like, "Oh, I see you're a business owner. What are you doing with your life right now? Are you serious right now?" Go get a job, Dandy.
I've got one.
I'm an artist.
Nobody understands. Alright.
You're going to have to go out and do some skill checks if you want to learn where Alistar is at and what's going on.
Okay. Well, I do agree that trying to find him alone would be the best of choices, but I don't know if... are we supposed to be holding him for Zen, or is Zen just going to straight tackle him off?
She's going to get him.
Okay.
Zen's lurking.
Okay. That's fine. That's what I wanted to know, was if like I do draw him out with a show... Is Zen just going to tackle him off the stage and that's it?
No, that's what Zen said in the beginning. She doesn't want to do that because then the guards and the security at wherever the tavern is going to take her down.
Yeah.
The groupies, any guards, they'll all defend Alistar. That's why he has a bounty and hasn't been taken yet, is because he has a following that's devout to him.
So we need to, like, either catch him in a dressing room or lure him to a back room. Or
if you guys have a way to distract or dispose of the group, like during a show, you lay out smoke bombs or something, for example. Like, there's, if you could, you just got to separate the two.
Okay.
Separate Alistair from groupies.
Done.
and prying guard eyes.
Easy, right?
Totally.
Sure.
Also keep in mind that Zen's also level one.
Yeah.
So this is Zen's brilliant idea. It's not a great idea.
So in that case, I believe we best, as they say, hit the streets. And I go ahead and give a smile to you.
You lead the way.
Just, that meant to be a joke, goes right over Eileen's head. All right, gotta work on that one. That's okay.
Right.
Okay, so if you're going to go start snooping around and looking for stuff, tell me what you're doing and tell me how you're doing it. I'll tell you what to roll.
So,
and are you guys doing together, giving the other a help action, or are you guys splitting up?
I mean,
I don't see any reason to split up at this point. We know where he's going to be.
We know where he's going to be. If we're trying to find him beforehand, then we need to try and search where he's at.
Yeah. This is your thing. How do you want to do it? I'm just here to help.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go with my first instinct. Dandy's going to go out and see if he can find some, not really urchins, but street performers.
Are you going to try to see what they know?
Yeah.
Okay. So roll me a persuasion or investigation check with the help action. The better you do, the more information I'll give you.
With the help action is advantage, right?
Yes.
That is a 21.
Jesus. Okay. So you find out there's a word that he fancies a drow woman pretty heavily. So there's some drow woman that he's been hanging around with quite a bit. You find that his instrument is magical and can turn into many instruments. Rumor has it he doesn't actually know how to play every instrument, though. He jumps between instruments, but he's not actually proficient with them. He doesn't practice with all the instruments that are available. He also, with a 21, you find that he has a crippling fear of failure and celestials.
Well, that's understandable.
Crippling fear of what and celestials?
Fear. Fear of failure.
Oh, fear of failure. Okay. Failure and celestials.
Which, considering that he's a tiefling, makes you wonder, maybe he has some sort of pact going. He just went with his bloodline and made a pact with a demon or something. And the fear of failure makes sense because he's always so hard up to prove himself.
So, has anybody gone ahead and seen a lot more security around any of the motels or inns around here?
No more than usual, no. You still don't know where he's staying currently.
Yeah. But as far as I know, he's somewhere in this town, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He's somewhere in Neverhold.
Oh. Is there a town square?
More or less. There's one other option, too, that I didn't offer you. Aside from doing a really good show to draw him out, you could also just outright challenge him.
Okay.
So, like, you mentioned a talent square. If you go to the talent square, set up a little box, and just like, hey, you bitch! You just call him out by name and just start jamming. I would have you make a performance check to draw him out.
Okay.
Wouldn't that put us in the same predicament as being on stage at a tavern? Like, we're going to draw the attention of guards and groupies
Well, my plan is more of to get him out, and then even if he's, like, he thinks that he doesn't even need to bother to challenge me, then, or accept my challenge because I'm just a lowly little performer, then at least we see where he came out of and we can go ahead and tail him to figure out where he is.
So the mechanics behind this is that if you just put on a show, the DC check is much higher. But it's because he'll come out because of his failure, or his fear for failure. Because you'll be showing that you're doing better than what he can do, so he has to put you in your place to make sure he's still on top. Whereas if you're just challenging him, he'll take any challenge. So the DC is much lower, but he won't be off of his guard. He just thinks he's just some upstart, and it's another opportunity for him to make himself look better.
By trying to kill me?
Yeah. Taking out the competition.
Awful.
No one said he was a nice guy.
No, he's an asshole. Everyone says he's an asshole, except for the groupies. But that is something that you can't do. Not that you have to do. You can also wait until he does the show, too.
Yeah. I actually want to go ahead and try and see if I can find some groupies.
Okay. Roll me.
Because if I can find some of his groupies, they always, most of the time would share amongst each other, like, where they can find him.
So, from what tips. You've already learned from on the streets, I'm going to have you roll an investigation check, and you can roll with advantage because, Eileen, you've been helping him. You can brainstorm this.
Yeah, give the help action.
It's not a matter of perception of finding them. It's putting together the information.
Some shitty rolls.
That it is. 7. This is why I don't like rolling on D&D Beyond.
Yeah, the DC was low, but you didn't roll high enough. So,
one of them immediately sees right through me.
No. So go ahead and roll a perception check then.
Perception?
Yeah, you're not sure where you'd find them, so you're going to have to look around.
14.
Roll it with the help action because Eileen's helping you.
11. So 14.
Okay. You can't really find anybody who you'd consider a groupie. Well, there's like a handful of people who are like, yeah, he's good, you know, I like his stuff, I'm ready for the show, you know, I'm excited about it. Other people are like, he's too much of a dick for me to support him. I probably won't go to his show because he's an asshole. Maybe I'll listen to it on the Sending Stone. I got a friend who got tickets. They're bringing a Sending Stone. They said you're not supposed to, but they're streaming it to me, so I'll just watch from that.
Awful.
Ticket prices are way too high these days anyway. Fuck the man.
Alistar does charge for his shows. They are really expensive.
Okay.
So that is accurate. Ticket prices are way over the normal. Talking like gold pieces worth to get in. Where, Dandy, you're begging for copper pieces.
Well, then. That means that I'm not going to be able to buy my way into a show. So starting to keep on looking more and more like my best bet is to call him out and just see what happens.
Oh, hon, I can get us into that show. No problem.
What? Wait. You can?
Sure, that's what I do. If you want into the show to get him, well, I'll get us in one way or another.
Well, there are so many shows I could have gotten into. Yes.
Whether we slip in through the back door, manipulate a guard, steal the money to get in, whatever needs to be done, I'll get it.
Well, I'm not too, you know, helpful in that area. But getting in would be probably helpful. But we still need to separate them.
Right.
Eileen, roll me a wisdom check.
Wisdom?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you knew what you were asking.
Making you roll the appropriate skill.
Wow, 18.
Okay. There is an opportunity to get him while he's sleeping, too.
Yeah, if we could find where he's staying.
Right, but you guys haven't even explored that possibility.
Because I told Dandy whatever he wanted to do to get this done, I'm just here to help.
I've been asking around for where he's staying, but...
You haven't.
I'm trying to find him. That's why I was asking people
You're looking for gossip, anything that could help you. Are you looking for him, too?
Yeah, I was looking for, like, where he's possibly staying.
Okay, so...
That way we can sneak in by night and truss him up like a pig.
With a 21, I'll just give this to you instead of rolling another check, then. He's staying in a very fancy tavern called the Glittery Boy.
Of course.
It's spelled B-O-I. The Glittery Boy. It's like a high-end club for rich wizards, and it requires a 100 gold piece door fee.
Eileen will wrinkle her nose at the mention of the Glittery Boy.
Is it only for wizards?
That's what it's, well, it's like the Aggressive Mice is only for halflings.
Oh, I see.
It's tailored for that. Other people can get in if they have money.
Do you want to go scout out the Glittery Boy then and see if there's a way I could get us in?
Yes. I think that is our best option as of right now. And so we'll go to not to the Glittery Boy, but like across the street, down the road, something, so that we can at least see it and see the traffic in and out.
Scout in the area.
So you go to the Glittery Boy, and it's several stories tall, which... This is the Neverhole is like a whole biodome, right? It's like there is a ceiling, but it's like hundreds of feet up in the air. So the Glittery Boy itself is several stories tall and is very ornate looking and looks very nice. Think like the Trump Tower inside Neverhole. That's what this is. Out front of the door, it's a pair of double doors, and there are a pair of guards. And they are dressed in their standard uniform, which is fairy dusted slacks and shirt. And they are armed. The weapons are also glittery, though.
How armed? Are we talking just a short sword, a cudgel? What are they wearing? Armor?
You don't see any armor. If they're wearing armor, it's like just a chest piece. It'll be light. And they are wearing short swords, and it looks like they have billy bats.
Okay. We want to scout the whole building, the sides, the back, everything.
Okay, roll a perception check. And are you trying to be stealthy about it?
Yes.
Okay, so roll me a stealth check. Dandy, are you joining?
Dandy's looking up at the top of the tower, like, thinking to himself out loud, he's even saying it. I bet you that horny prick's up there, at the top. I would be. I will be.
I will be.
All right, which one do you want me to roll first, perception or stealth?
Stealth. Nandy, are you joining Eileen?
You stay here.
Scouting?
You stay here.
Okay.
Stay.
Dandy's going to go ahead and try and... is there a lot of traffic going in and out? Or are the guards keeping pretty...
there's not traffic going in and out, no. You can't enter unless you give 100 gold pieces up front to even get in. Then you got to rent a room.
I go ahead and... I walk up to one of the guards, actually.
Okay.
And I'm going to... This is my way of going to try and give the help action by trying to be a distraction so the guards aren't actively doing their job.
Okay. So what are you doing?
I go ahead and I introduce myself. Hello there. I am Dandy the Lion, and I bet I could make you laugh. Would you like to hear a joke?
You look like a poor.
Only in wealth, my friend, but in spirit, I'm rich.
Okay, so roll a persuasion check.
Whether this helps you or not, this is...
This doesn't mean it gives you... whether or not he's successful.
16.
It gives you a help action. 16?
Yeah.
That's a good roll. Can't deny.
His insight's much better.
Ah, damn it.
He kind of like looks at you and just says, get. And then he puts his eyes back up. You heard him, Paul. Get out of here. We're on duty.
You're on duty? My friend, then get off of it.
I'm going to beat you.
I'm going to kick you like the favorite dog you are.
Oi, does anybody else hear that? He's going to go ahead and hit me.
He pulls up really bad.
Because I'm poor.
Okay.
I go ahead and I start backing away, but I am pointing at him and I'm causing a huge disturbance.
So you get the help action for stealth, and Dandy gets beat in the street.
Eileen's over here like, well, I guess that's one way to do it. Okay.
Do you stand your ground or do you just run?
No, I said I was backing up, pointing at them.
Yeah, no, he's aggressively coming at you. Do you run or do you... You're going to beat him. The other one's standing at the door, but he's watching. Watching you get beat.
Nobody's going to help me.
No.
We're in a rich neighborhood. Nobody cares about the poor.
The other people down the street, look at that dirty poor. What is he even doing here?
I don't really want to fight him. Like, I don't think...
It's not going to be a fight. He's going to beat you unconscious.
Okay.
So do you run? Or do you keep up the charade?
I'll keep up the charade, but would I be able to try and sleight of hand and see if I can pick his pocket?
Depends on how quickly he beats you unconscious.
Yeah.
So roll initiative.
Okay, I'm totally thinking of the scene from The Pest, where he keeps faking different illnesses while laying on the ground. Like, you wouldn't beat an epileptic, would you? And he starts shaking.
Yes, that's how this is going to go. Yep. I got a 12.
So you say you wouldn't beat an epileptic, would you? And he says, yes. And he starts in on you. Well, you rolled a natural one, so even though you're on the ground, actually... Are you on the ground?
I wasn't going to be on the starting on the ground.
Eileen said that. So what do you do? What was your play here?
What? You wouldn't hit a man with glasses. Flip out a pair of glasses that have no lenses, by the way, and put them on.
So he tries, but he whiffs.
Hey, there we go, friend. And I slap him on the ass.
You try to pick his pocket?
Yeah.
So roll a sleight of hand.
That was so close to a natural 20. 17.
So was there something specific you were going for?
I was just going for whatever I could grab.
Whatever's in the pocket.
Yeah.
Keys
or a pouch.
You're not going to get your hands in a pocket when it's full combat. You'll be taking something off of the belt.
Okay.
So do you have a blade to cut strings?
My inventory says I do. It says I have a dagger. I also have a rapier, but I don't see pulling that right now is a good idea.
So if you pull out a dagger, it'll be obvious that you have a dagger.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to cut the strings on a purse. Or just cut his belt, which might give you a second, a moment of being able to flee. Which if you cut his belt, you'll be able to get the keys. There's a key ring on his belt.
I'll cut his belt.
Okay. So you slap his ass and when you pull your hand back, you slide the knife up and cut the belt. And so his drawers drop.
Is he wearing any...
glittery underparts. Boy underwear. Yeah.
No, he's not wearing underwear, but his dick is full glitter. He goes, damn it!
Is that where it comes from?
No!
Danny runs away.
I spilt it! You little shit! So he'll spend his action pulling his pants back up, and you just flee. You have the belt. I'm going to say you have the whole belt.
Yeah, I'm going to flee.
Okay. So you pull the whole belt out in your offhand, you grab the keys and slide off of it too. It looks like his purse was tied to the belt loop, so you weren't able to get the purse.
Okay.
But you have his belt that's cut.
Yeah.
And the keys.
Okay.
So he'll have to spend his turn pulling his pants back up.
Run, Danny, run!
Yeah.
When he goes to put his pull his pants up, would I be able to take his belt and tie it around his arm to his leg?
You can certainly try.
That's not running.
That's going to be a grapple check. So if you want to do that, I'm going to allow him to try to hit you too. Because I wouldn't just let you tie my arm to my leg as I'm trying to pull my pants up.
No, that's completely understandable. No, I'm just going to bounce.
Okay.
I got lucky with the natural one, and I'm going to keep my luck going.
Okay, so... what did you get for your stealth check, Eileen?
I still get advantage, right?
Yes, 100%.
23.
The other guard is laughing at his guard compatriots. And the people in the street are like, look at this spectacle. What a jackass, letting a poor make a fool of himself. So,
by the way, as I'm running, I'm singing about how I beat a man with glittery balls.
You circle the building. There are numerous windows. There are some places where windows should be. And you wonder if those are closed off by magical means. This is a tower built for rich wizards, so maybe there's an option to instill some dormant magic there. So if they want more privacy, they can keep it a wall. If they want a window, they can say a word and a window will form.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of spaces like that. So the windows aren't exactly linear. They're kind of like all over the place. It gives you that impression. There is a door on the bottom floor to the back with a dumpster. You assume there's a kitchen inside this tavern as well, and that's probably the back door into the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no fire escape. Again, assuming this is business, because this is a tavern for wizards, the escapes are probably magical in nature.
Is the back door guarded?
No.
Okay. Are the windows... or is the building such that the windows could be climbed to?
If you have gear, I'll say yes.
Gear?
Something that'll help you. You're not going to be able just to full scale it. Scale.
There's no first floor windows?
Well, on the first floor, yeah, there's windows.
Okay.
You're not exactly an acrobat. You're not Assassin's Creed over here.
Right.
You can try to jump from window to windowsill, if that's what you're insinuating.
Just climbing walls? Is that not a thing in 5th edition?
Sure. But it needs to make sense. You're not Spider-Man.
Right. That's why I was asking what kind of building this is.
It's not brick and mortar. It's probably put together by wizards as well.
Okay.
It looks like a flat wall.
Okay. Like a plaster wall.
Yeah. Which, by the way, scaling in D&D in any edition has often not made sense to me. Like, I'm assuming that they assume that any brick and mortar, the mortar is just always shit on a building. So you have handholds always. But the thieves' ability to scale walls has always been baffling to me. Because it's like, you can scale walls like Spider-Man. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Stupid. Second edition thieves can just climb walls like Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's like, that's not how rock climbers today can't do that.
I will, after I case the building like that, take an inventory of, like, how to get to that back door without being seen. Like, the alleys and the pathways and stuff.
I'm going to say the alleyways only goes around that building.
Oh, okay. So there's no other ins and out other than past those guards' viewpoints.
Right, unless you get on the roof of the adjoining buildings.
But it sounded like you were saying that this building is quite a bit taller than any of the ones around it.
Yes.
Okay. By how many stories to the nearest taller building?
I'm going
to
say it's 5 stories tall, and the ones next door at most are 2. You don't hear this because you're fleeing. You do hear from the top, though, woo!
Was it like someone just watched the spectacle and they're cheering, or just somebody's party time up there?
Party time.
Okay.
And you hear some shitty music.
Okay.
Like someone's drunk and trying to play an instrument.
Ah. Okay. Make my way out of the alleyway. If his kerfuffle is done by the time I'm ready to come out of the alley, then I'll look for windows on the other buildings beside the tavern to try and go through them rather than come back out of the alley.
Like out of their windows?
No. The neighboring buildings?
Yes.
Going through them to get out rather than go out back out of the alley.
Okay. Roll a luck check. I'll give you that. Let Dice Christ decide your fate.
Dice Christ says 8.
Dice Christ says no windows for you.
Okay.
There's no windows because of the privacy situation. Wizards get to look out. You don't get to look at the wizards.
Extricate myself.
Okay, do you try to stealth away? You have to roll another stealth check if you're going to try to get out of the alleyway without the guards seeing you.
Okay, so I didn't manage to case the place while his thing was still going on.
By the time you're done exploring and casing and seeing where the alleys go and if there are other alleys and other windows, he's already done.
Okay.
Because that was a whole 10 seconds. Came up, taunted, cut a belt, ran away.
24.
Okay, yeah, you able to slink away, no problem.
Okay.
Do you describe to me how you slink away? Do you use your abilities? to like look around the corner, or describe to me how your physicality plays into you stealthing away.
Yeah, sure. I'll pluck one of my eyeballs out and peek it around the corner. And as soon as I see both of them looking away, I skeeter.
So you see, when you peek around the corner, one guard is the closest to you, and he's watching the other one making fun of him as he's trying to figure out how to tie his pants back up. He's like, stop watching me, because you're the one with a glittery dick. How could I not look at you? Fuck you. If you see that happening again, beat him. Beat him on sight. He's like, yeah, but you know, don't you beat anything. Like, it's away, all right? And then you excuse your way.
Yeah.
So we'll say from the shadowy corner where you guys were watching the building to begin with, you meet Dandy up back there again, like a block and a half away.
Okay.
So, how'd it go?
Great distraction, by the way. Very, very comical.
Thank you. By the way, I'm wrapping the belt around my arm as a sleeve. I'm just admiring it because I'm assuming the belt is shiny, too.
And the belt is very sparkly.
Yeah.
I'll tell Dandy about the back alley that past the guards is the only entrance, but also about hearing what I would assume is Alistair on the roof.
Or at least the top floor. There were windows up there.
And they were open?
Yeah. You assume. It's hard to see five stories up whether or not the window's open, but you could hear.
Okay.
I knew he's up there. I got keys. Go ahead and I jiggle some keys.
Oh, hey, look at that. Good find. So we can either both try to sneak past the guards again and use the keys on the back door. We could try to find a way to get in via the roof, but we'd have about 30 feet up to manage from the next door building to the top of the inn.
You can manage a way to get 100 gold pieces to get in. You can also get whatever hot gossip's going on the first floor, so you know what you're walking into when you get up there.
Yeah. Hmm.
I have a feeling that the guard won't let me by through the front door.
There is a guard rotation, though.
Oh, okay.
These guys aren't there 24/7.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, we are in the wealthy quarter. I could attempt to steal what we need. That does increase our chances of me getting caught and having to run from the city guard.
Oh, I guess it's time to see what I can earn.
You will not earn enough. You are poor and destitute for a reason.
Not poor, I'm struggling.
Is there a magic shop anywhere in town? Or, I mean, a potion shop?
There is. There's a magic shop. I'm so glad you asked. The magic shop is called the Golden Pigeon. It's ran by a kobold named Jack Jack.
Ah.
I really love Jack Jack.
Going to the Golden Pigeon?
Yeah.
Okay. Going to the Golden Pigeon, and you see a kobold that's dressed. This is in the richer area, too. Kobold that's dressed far above his class, with a incredibly ornate hat that's just like all kinds of shiny baubles and shit. The fabric's even dyed gold, so it's shiny. He goes, "Hey, my name is Jack Jack. Trying to get you something."
Yeah, Jack Jack, we're in the market for some potions of invisibility.
And he's pretty much all teeth too. He's like he talks through his teeth. He goes, potion of invisibility?
Yeah. Two.
Jack Tech has what you need. Hold on. And he scampers away. When he scampers away, too, he hops off a stool. So you can tell the stool is like 4 feet-ish high. So he completely disappears when he hops off the stool.
Behind the counter.
And you hear... He scampers around the corner and you hear ruffling and shit bobbling and falling over and him digging through stuff.
Dandy's trying on hats.
Okay, so the shop is moderately large. It's kind of set up like the restaurant Shenanigans, where there's shit all over the walls.
Yeah.
It's obvious some's magical, And it's also obvious that some just looks fancy, and he probably tries to pass them off as magical. But as you're trying on hats, there's a couple different ones. There's like a hat of disguise, the hat of vermin. Like, there's a couple different magical hats. Otherwise, there are a lot of... they are nice. Any stuff that's not magical is just, like, well, good quality. He probably passes it off to the rich people, saying, like, it's magically enchanted to make you look better kind of thing. He does come back with two potions, and it's very bad handwriting. It's written Potion of Invisibility on it, on both of them.
Okay.
Ah, Potions of Invisibility.
How much?
You notice... both of you, actually, give me a perception check. Dandy, you had a disadvantage because you're trying on hats.
Oh, thank you. 23. 9.
Okay.
You're busy. You're not part of this. One of the potions says Potion of Invisibility. The other potion says Potion of Invisibility. It's spelled with an A.
I was wondering by how he said it.
Because be 10 gold each.
Jack.
Yeah, that's my name. I'm Jack.
Yeah. Point to the label that says invisibility.
That's what you asked for. Potion of invisibility.
No, Jack.
Huh?
Don't try to swindle a swindler.
Jack's confused. You came in asking Jack for a potion of invisibility.
What does this potion do if I drink it, Jack?
Turns you invisible. Invisible.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't drink the stuff myself. I'm sober.
Drink it, Jack.
Do you know what I'm asking you for, Jack?
No.
Okay.
Hey. You break a hat, you buy it.
Can you break a hat?
I don't know.
Jack, do you want to hear a joke?
Yes. Jack likes jokes.
What do you call a goblin in a sock? A hop goblin.
Okay, so Jack, like Tony right now, starts dying laughing. If you wanted to steal these, now's the time. Jack falls on the floor laughing.
No, because I don't know what they do.
I put a hat underneath my shirt. I don't know what hat I grab, whether it's magical or not, but I just...
Okay, we'll figure that out later.
I know it's rich. So it's...
Okay, so he eventually goes, that's a good one. Jack likes that. Oh, I'm sorry, you really asking me a question?
Jack, I'm not paying 10 gold apiece for potions that I don't know what they do.
Oh, so he turns and looks at it, and like gets up on the stool and goes on the counter and goes, it looks like these are potions of invisibility. I think they turn you invisible.
Why are they spelled different, Jack?
Jack didn't go to school. Jack's not good with words.
So both of these potions will make the drinker invisible.
Oh, that's what it says.
Do you have
invisible?
A
that one says invisible. I don't know.
Do you have a guarantee?
No.
Right. Do you have any other items that could make a person invisible?
Let me go look. Jack will be right back.
Jack.
Huh?
To be fair, do you know what the definition of invisible?
No.
Make it so others can't see you.
Well, I can do that right now. Watch. Huh! And he dips behind the counters. I'm invisible. Ha! I'm back!
How'd you get this shop?
Jack acquired it. It was empty, and Jack filled the space.
Interesting. Are you looking for a partner? I could tell you more jokes.
Maybe. Wait, didn't you ask me a question?
No.
Oh, okay. What now?
Partner?
Partners! Jack Jack always wanted a partner. Slap it here! Shakes your hand.
Nandy shakes his hand and quickly pulls out a piece of paper and begins writing down on it.
Like you make a contract?
Yeah.
Okay.
And tells Jack Jack what he's writing down. So what this is saying that I'm your partner and you are my partner.
Okay.
We share this business.
All right. Yeah.
We split the proceeds.
Okay.
And
yes.
You'll go ahead and help us out when we need.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
In return,
all right.
I give you jokes.
Okay.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Signed.
Wait. Jack Jack wants another joke up front.
Another joke up front?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want me to roll anything or do you want me to pull from my list?
Pull from your list. You need to tell another joke.
Okay.
Jack Jack won't sign anything until he gets another joke.
Did you hear about the bard who became a farmer?
No.
Now she can turn up the music and drop the beats.
Okay, yeah, that's good. All right, Jack Jack will sign. Jack Jack signs it. It's just scribbles. I'm pretty sure Jack Jack doesn't know how to sign or write properly. You're not even sure if Jack Jack wrote invisible on those potions.
Goes ahead and he looks at it and goes, right. I poke my finger so I can get a bit of blood on it.
Okay.
I go ahead and I smear it beside my name.
Ah, it's unsanitary.
Dandy looks quizzical at him.
But what?
A spot of yours, too. Just so anybody who can't read understands that this is you.
A binding contract.
All right, I guess.
Pokes him.
Ow!
Right here.
All right.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Excellent business partners.
Yes.
So we'll be going ahead and...
taking these?
Oh, yeah.
Part and,
yep.
And, we'll peruse, see what we can use to go ahead and help each other.
Okay, yeah.
Jack, Jack, are you aware that there's a tiefling bard?
No. What's a tiefling?
That he's a horny bard.
The red ones with the horns.
Oh, yeah. The devil folk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he likes to play music so much that people die.
Sounds intense.
Yes. Do you know of anything that I could help me against somebody like that? And of course, I'd go ahead and help you in whatever you need help with.
Hold on. Jack Jack will be right back. He gets down, scoots away, and you hear more clamoring and stuff falling over.
I begin perusing the shop and seeing if anything stands out.
There are a variety of magical items. I'm going to say most of them are common. So if there's anything on the common items list that you want to grab, you can grab it.
Okay.
Eventually he comes back and he goes, I have this. And he puts on another potion on the counter. And it says potion of sleep, but it's just spelled S-L-E-P.
Slep.
It's a potion of slep. And
who knows what that does?
And he puts on a set of earmuffs. He goes, and this could help.
Ah, well then, I'll go ahead and take both of these. Go ahead and I look at the potion for a while. Jack-Jack, I do believe that this is going to be the best partnership of my life.
Ah!
To the little folk.
Ah!
Well, I hope that we have what we came here for.
We shall see. Eileen's still going through the shelves and looking at everything.
And despite there being just uncategorized miscellaneous shit all over the place, it is clean.
Yeah. That's also one thing that Danny wanted to get was a set of fanciful-looking clean clothes.
Yeah, you can find it here, but it's much like a thrift shop kind of setup.
Shit piled everywhere.
Yeah, it's all on the shelves and it's all, like, nothing's categorized. It's all over the place, but it is clean, though. There isn't broken stuff here. There isn't dirt and rubbish all over the floor.
Is it just the green ones that are common?
Those are uncommon. So it's all the...
The uncolored ones.
Yeah. Okay, the black ones.
Yeah. Hold on a second, I gotta figure out what kind of hat you got.
Yeah, I'm more excited about that. Also, this deal with Jack-Jack. I hope Jack-Jack makes an appearance later on in Dandy's life.
Roll me a D4, Zach.
A D4. One.
Of course you rolled one. Okay. So the hat you grab, now that you're not afraid to whip it out, because your business partner, so technically this hat's yours too.
Yeah.
The hat's an oversized tricorn hat.
I'm so happy already.
The goblin's captain's tricorn hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. That's what it is. Do you speak goblin?
I don't. Wait. Let me check. I have the spell for comprehend languages, but it's good to check. Common and halfling.
Okay. So there's a word that's written on it that's written in goblin. It looks... So the lettering looks like K-A-P-T-I-N. So you're assuming that's captain in goblin.
Sorry, I'm just looking at the item and I'm like, Okay.
So an individual wearing this hat has advantage in all intelligence, wisdom, and charisma rolls against goblins, and goblins have disadvantage in intelligence, wisdom, and charisma saving throws instigated by such an individual.
I'm so happy right now. I immediately put it on.
Okay.
There doesn't even need to be a goblin around me. I'm happy.
How many of these potions of climbing are here?
Five.
Okay, I'll take two of them.
Okay.
I'm assuming there aren't antimatter rifles in here.
Nice try.
Nope. Dice Crest says no. I said any of the common items.
So. It's under the common for some reason. I'll definitely take a bag of caltrops, though.
There is a register that he uses. And technically, that register and what the money is inside is as much yours as it is...
Yeah, part of the proceeds. Okay, I go ahead and I check. I ask him, check. How are we doing financially?
Great.
Really?
Yeah.
May I see? I gesture towards the register.
Hold on. Ka-ting! And it pops open, and it just rattles, and there's just gold pieces filling the thing.
What
the? There's probably like over 2,000 gold pieces in here.
100 won't be missed, surely. Well, it would be 200. 100 for each of us to walk in the front door.
Jack, have you not thought about doing something with this?
I'm collecting it.
For what?
It's my hoard.
Your hoard?
Yeah. Jack's secretly a dragon.
Jack.
Yeah.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. This is the best deal I've ever made.
I agree.
Do you mind if I have some?
Oh, it's part of the business. Part of the business, part of the crew.
Fantastic. I take 400 gold pieces. Okay.
Just keep in mind, you know, if you rob Jack, that could tank the business. So Dandy has morals, Aline doesn't, but you have morals.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm only taking 400. 200 base for the get in, and then if we need to bribe.
Okay. You also notice, too, this is a city. Neverhold's not exactly a dirt water city. Or a city full of pirates and thieves and rogues and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, and you're in the upstanding part of town, you notice, as you see all this money and the rubbish that fills this place, you don't see any posted permits. Or any sort of, you know how businesses usually have shit placarded on the wall, like, this is my business permit for doing business in the city, and this is, you know.
Yeah.
You don't see anything like that. You also don't see any paperwork, actually. You haven't seen his back room yet, where he keeps scampering off to, but there might be a reason why he has so much gold just sitting here.
Check.
What?
Yeah.
What's in the back room?
Stuff. Inventory.
Inventory. Come on, Jack. Show me the inventory.
Ah, come on, I'll show you. Follow Jack. And he's... Skippers in the back room.
I follow him.
Okay, so there's just piles of miscellaneous shit back here. Mostly in bags, it looks like.
Bags, like, stained with blood?
Nothing stained, no.
Okay.
But there's, like, haversacks and burlap sacks, small chests. Everything is just in disarray back here. No filing cabinets, no paperwork, no anything. All over the place.
Jack.
There's a little table. He's like, this is my workbench.
What?
And it looks like there's like rolls of the white tape that was on the potion bottles. So he's probably like, this is where he works to like label things as he's going.
Jack. Have you been asked by anybody where your permit is?
What's that?
It allows you to open a business.
No, Jack just does business. I told you, Jack found this when it was empty, so I moved in.
Thank you for staying tuned and listening to part one of Dandy's backstory. We appreciate every one of you for sticking around to the end of the episode, and please follow us on your various social medias, rate us, review us, and stay tuned for the next epi coming out April 5th. Players tonight were Nicole, who played Elaine, Zachary Spangler, who played Dandy Lion, and our story weaver running the show is Tony Spangler. Take care, stay creative.